And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good morning, America. Welcome. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Somewhere on Shady Wall Street today, the sun is shining bright. The billionaires who rip off shareholders, their hollow hearts are light. These crafty men are laughing. The hacks they bribe do shout. But there is no joy for plain folks. Mighty Spitzer has struck out. I'm a fan of Governor Eliot Spitzer of New York, or at least the man I thought I knew. A man who made powerful, evil men quake in fear. Billionaire money managers, craven CEOs who thought nothing of dipping their hands in your cookie jar, raiding the pensions of working men and women, lying to shareholders. You know, even the head of the New York Stock Exchange was forced to follow the law and give back his ill-gotten gains, all because of Eliot Spitzer. It's no wonder that laughter and cheers literally broke out on Monday from the trading floor of that stock exchange when Eliot Spitzer's indiscretions were announced. These men knew they would become rich yet again by cheating all of us. Now, politicians like Eliot Spitzer are rare. A friggin' steamroller, he called himself, rolling over the highly corrupt financial powers that run New York City, the entrenched political hacks of the New York State Senate who'd ruled there for four decades. He took on national corporations. He took on transnational corporations and money managers, the ones that use these sophisticated financial techniques to manipulate markets, to pocket millions. And what is Eliot Spitzer's crime? Did he pocket other people's money? No, there's no evidence of that to date. Now, let me be clear. If Eliot Spitzer used state money to pay for his call girls, that's beyond the pale. I'll be the first to call for his resignation. But thus far, it seems he's not in trouble for taking money he shouldn't have. He's in trouble for spending money he shouldn't have on the oldest profession in the world. And it ain't like he's the first. There are two sitting members of the United States Senate known to have committed sexual crimes. We have Senator Larry Craig of Idaho soliciting sex in a Minnesota men's bathroom, right? And then we have Senator David Vitter, who himself bought a call girl. Now, Republicans that are demanding that Eliot Spitzer has to go, and if he doesn't go tomorrow, they're going to impeach him, they're quietly letting these two senators finish their term. Interesting. Now, at first they didn't with Larry Craig, right? At first, when it was discovered that Craig pled guilty to sexual solicitation, the Republican howls were fierce. Get out now, they said. But then Larry Craig pled not guilty to a far more severe crime for conservatives. A crime so severe, so deadly, so dangerous to conservatives, it's not even on the law books. The crime of being gay. And once Craig insisted, no matter how unbelievably, that he wasn't gay, well, the Republicans gave him a pass. Playing footsie with a cop in a restroom, that's okay, as long as there weren't homosexuals involved. So Larry Craig remains in the Senate. There's no call to expel him. Heck, there's not even a call to censure him or even reprimand him. And David Vitter of Louisiana, that Republican remains in the Senate as well. Even though he, exactly like Governor Eliot Spitzer, hired a call girl. Now think of the irony here. The denizens of Manhattan, those that hang out on 42nd Street, demand a higher standard of sexual prudery than the Bible-thumping, self-righteous preachers of the Deep South. Who knew? Who knew that Manhattan was indeed the landmark standard for sexual morality, while people in the Deep South, well, they get a pass. Hey, you know, at least David Vitter never took on a thieving corporation, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I have little sympathy for Eliot Spitzer. What he did was not just against the law. It was even worse. It was stupid. And that, indeed, is the greater crime. Here's a guy whose promise was as bright as the day is long. Here's a man who I really thought would be my first choice for president of the United States. Yes, better than Hillary Clinton, better than Barack Obama. Here is a man who took on the powerful. And I do feel sorry, not for him, but for the people of New York, for the people of the United States of America. We are losing one of the rare politicians who truly took on the powerful, the ones stealing from us every day, the transnational corporations who are cheating not just their shareholders, but consumers as well. And I feel sorry for his wife and children, no question about it. But I want to examine the nature of his crime this hour, the nature of the crime of prostitution. Should it be illegal anyway? Look at it in Elliot Spitzer's case for a second. Now, I know, yes, that there are many prostitutes. I'm sure the great majority, heck, probably 90, 95% of prostitutes in America come from sexually abusive families and are doing it to try to survive on the meager living that their pimp gives them. All right? Maybe those can remain illegal. But look for a minute at Elliot Spitzer. I'm not sure who got rooked more here, but I think it was the governor. Some would say that he overpaid for what he got. Some $80,000 for I don't know how many sessions. This session was $4,500. What harm does it cause? Now, I realize the harm to the wife and children. I realize the harm of adultery. But if we are going to kick out every member of Congress who's ever committed adultery, let me suggest to you that they'd have trouble getting a quorum. I think they would. So should prostitution be illegal, or at least should it be illegal for high-class call girls of this sort? It is legal in a few counties in Nevada. It is legal in some European countries, such as the Netherlands. What harm does it cause? Is there a greater harm? And I want to explore this, and of course encourage you to call in at 202-588-0893. Is there a greater harm with having the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, not spy on terrorists, but instead take the time to spy on the governor, to try to catch him in a crime? You know how they discovered this, don't you? They discovered that he took money, and apparently it was private money. Now again, if it's state money, I will strongly condemn Elliot Spitzer, I promise you. But let's assume it was private money. Elliot Spitzer is a very rich man. And let's say he took his own money in certain chunks out of banks and tried to pay these call girls. All right? What happened is the bank alerted the FBI to this private transaction by an American citizen because they were concerned he wasn't spending money the way he should have been. The FBI found out where the money was going, tracked Governor Spitzer, and did their best to take him down. Is that the kind of country we want? You know, it was just a couple months ago, I was right here in this room on this very radio station interviewing an ex-FBI agent who described how the FBI decided to let go a meeting between white supremacist leader and an Islamic terrorist plotting to murder Americans. They decided that that just didn't rise enough to a terrorist act. Let them get a pass. Let them meet. Not a big deal. We know why now. They need to spend all their resources on spying on the governor. Now, without in any way defending what Elliot Spitzer did, and, well, maybe I'm partly defending it. I guess I'm partly defending the right of people to do silly, stupid things as long as they don't harm anybody else. My question is, if the FBI, should they have spent all this money and all these resources spying on the governor? It reminds me of what J. Edgar Hoover did some 40 years ago, spying on Martin Luther King. He couldn't find that Martin Luther King had committed any crime. He did find that the great Dr. King did commit a marital indiscretion, and they used that. But isn't that the problem with wiretapping everyone? I mean, none of us are perfect. I don't know how many tens of millions of Americans go and check out pornography on the internet. I don't know whether you do that. But do you think everyone should know about it? Now, certainly we can hold politicians and prosecutors to a higher standard. I get that. But my real question is, should this stuff be illegal at all? Look at a woman like Anna Nicole Smith. Didn't she prostitute herself? And she made billions by it. And we don't put her in jail. We celebrate her. What's your view? What's your view on the legalization of prostitution? What's your view on the downfall of Governor Elliot Spitzer? What's your view on the FBI monitoring every one of our business transactions to see where they go? What do you think? Let's go to the lines. It's 202-588-0893. Jason, welcome.
How you doing? My comment is that, you know, they're buried in the pages of the D.C. papers has been this trial with the D.C. madam, which included
David Vitter of Louisiana.
David Vitter and Dick Cheney. Yet I haven't heard anything about, you know, any investigation about the vice president's indiscretions.
Now, do we know that Dick Cheney was involved? I mean, has that been proven? I'll be the first to report it.
He was on the list of this D.C. madam's, you know, clients.
Hey, Jason, what's your source for that? Because that's major news to me.
This was in, it was online. So I'm going to say I know that Enquete had it, you know, the blog.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I will look that up, and if it's true, I guarantee you I'll be the first reported on my radio show, The Inside Scoop. I didn't think that was proven, but if it is, you raise an excellent point, and we need to go after the vice president, absolutely.
Yeah,
well, it's fair.
But just with David Vitter in and of itself and Larry Craig, I mean, this is, you know, the amount of media attention that it's getting, you know, it's duplicitous that these guys are still in office, and we don't hear a peep about, you know, their mores or, you know, their ability to make decisions. Yet
right.
Someone like Elliot Spitzer, who, you know, has obviously been an advocate for not only the people in New York, but consumers in general, is basically, you know, he's going to be hounded out of office as a result of this.
I hear you, Jason. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Rashidi. Rashidi, welcome.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
On the issue, number one, I would say that I would support the legalization of prostitution. But on the governor of New York, I find that, you know, totally ridiculous. So many of you seem to be coming to his defense. The greatest thing that he did to me was that he was doing selective prosecution. He had prosecuted other prostitution rings, but evidently he didn't prosecute this one.
Well, let me be clear. I agree with you on this. Now, let me be very clear. The one thing that I think is the strongest arrow against him is that, yes, he went out and he prosecuted a prostitution ring. And for that, he is the world's greatest hypocrite. There's no question about it. Now, he was, you know, obligated to do that, I guess, as prosecutor, but I wish he'd just gone after the rich corporations. Look, I'm not defending Elliot Spitzer personally. What I'm questioning is, one, why the government spent so many resources going after him. Is that fair? And number two, is what he did so wrong?
Is it fair for him to selectively prosecute?
Well, you say selectively prosecute. I mean, he went after a lot of different... He only prosecuted, as far as I know, one prostitution ring back in 2004.
No, they did four, so I'm assuming it's more than one.
Okay. Well, no, you make a good point.
I've seen the word R-I-N-G-S. Rings, prosecution ring, not ring, okay? See, that's what I'm saying. You guys keep coming to this guy's event because, you see, my problem is if he does it on one thing, how many other things may he do it on?
Well, let me agree with you, all right? It's interesting. You said that prostitution should be legal. I don't think he should have gone after the other prostitution rings. Now, if there's more involved, if there's, you know, money laundering or drug crimes or, you know, connections to terrorists, which I don't know that they are ever involved in prostitution, but, you know, there are sometimes other things involved. But let me agree with you. What I'm saying is that this is a crime that is sordid. It is kind of ugly. But you know what? There's a lot of Americans that do things that are kind of sordid. And the answer, it seems to me, is when you have two consensual people and no one's being forced to do this. This isn't like a very poor woman.
That's not the question with the governor of New York. Like I said, I conceded the prosecution issue, but I'm tired of hearing so many people more or less coming to his defense.
Okay.
And that is what you're doing. I don't care what you say.
Okay, it's hypocritical.
And that is what that is what so many of you are doing. And to me, it's just totally ridiculous. And I don't see how you get to a level judicial, equal judicial system in this country when you allow people to selectively prosecute and then come to their defense.
Well, just to be clear, Rashidi, I mean, all prosecutors do choose who they prosecute, and they do so. They're supposed to do so based on the nature of the crime and the level of the evidence and so forth. So there is,
fine.
I guess,
that's
fair.
To do that. But then when you go around and you do exactly what you prosecuted people for.
No, you're right. It's hypocritical.
Then,
no question about it.
Then there's no defense.
I agree. It is hypocrisy.
No,
thanks for your call.
No,
I appreciate it. Let me go to Marie. Marie, good morning.
Hello. Good morning. I didn't
What's
mean
your
to call.
Thoughts on all this?
I think we should have had legalized whatever you call it.
Prostitution.
Sex
for money.
Hundreds of years.
It's the oldest profession in the world.
And get the Johns out of the business and have these women in their own buildings so they don't have to walk the streets and get killed all over this nation.
You know, in Amsterdam, they actually, where prostitution is legal, they're required to have health checks. They're required to practice safe sex. The government looks over and buys their health care. And in fact, there are laws protecting them from some of the abuses that some of Johns want to do.
Because our prostitutions out here who walk the streets, they get killed.
Yeah, they
do.
You
know that.
I think at the end of the day, it's a question of when you keep something illegal, and I think this is true with many of the drug crimes, when you keep something illegal, a lot worse things are going to happen. I mean, if you have drug sellers that are in gangs that are killing each other to get a street corner, that to me is more of a crime, more of a danger than people taking a toke on marijuana. The same is true with gambling, right? I mean, we had the Republican Congress just ban internet gambling. Now, I'm somebody, I like to play poker online. I play for about a dollar or $5. It's not a lot of money. Heck, government, stay out of my life. I don't consider that such a terrible affliction. They do. Hey, it's none of their business. I guess what I'm saying is things are going to happen whether or not you legalize them or not. Things like prostitution and gambling and drinking and use of drugs. And it seems to me that we should explore the very worst ones, prosecute the very worst ones. And when you have basically victimless crimes, leave people alone.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Marie. I appreciate it. Let me go to William. William, good morning.
Good morning. The other gentleman was very accurate in that you cannot turn on a radio station without hearing someone try to defend this man or try to water down his crime. And as so many other cases where seemingly people in a position of authority or power are caught doing something that normal people who are not wealthy get caught doing and get this massive jail time, it's always, why don't we start legalizing it? You know, I'm not going to say I'm for legalizing prostitution. I'm not. But let's discuss that for a second. If you legalize it, are you ready to hear your daughter say she wants to grow up and be one?
Absolutely
not.
Are
you ready?
Are
you ready to have a government that sponsors it? Are you ready to see hookers sponsored by Sony? We have the best hookers. No, this is not funny, because this is what you're saying. You're thinking of legalizing it only so that people like Spitzer don't have to be prosecuted.
Well, legalizing
something, you're going to see it advertised. You're going to see money going to it. And Amsterdam is not run like the United States. The United States is run on a position of do whatever you can to be as wealthy as you can, and you pay your taxes accordingly. So,
well, actually, wait, let me deal with what you say step by step.
Let me
hold on. I'll give you a greater chance. I just want to deal with what you've said so far, and then you can go on, all right? It seems to me that, first of all, there are ways to, if you will, decriminalize, is probably the better word I should have used, rather than legalize, things so that, you know, it remains something that can still be prosecuted in the most severe instances, but mostly the government looks the other way. And the example that I think of, yes, is in Amsterdam, but I'm thinking actually of marijuana possession. It is technically illegal. I think it's a $5 fine. Basically, the government looks the other way, and they prosecute harder drugs, more severe crimes. There are certainly many, many cases, most cases cases, probably, of abuse of women, abuse of prostitutes. And when you get to sexual abuse, physical abuse, when you get to forcing a woman to have sex, I mean, that's rape. That, you know, we'll continue to prosecute that, in my view. It just seems to me that, first of all, it's not true that the ordinary Johns get in trouble a lot. Usually, the way it works for your ordinary Johns is the prostitute goes to jail for like a night or two. The John gets off scot-free. And it's only because Governor Spitzer was rich and powerful and the governor of New York that they set up this whole sting operation. And that may be fair. Maybe when you become a politician, when you become a governor of a state, you are held to a higher standard. I get that. I get that. But please don't think that a whole bunch of Johns are being put in jail for, you know, for going after prostitutes. It's actually a very rare case to find a John ever put in jail for seeking a prostitute.
I find that to be inaccurate. And it seems to me, and I'm old enough to remember many cases, that well, let me give you one in particular, because I know we have a time restraint. I want to be fair to others and you. When Eddie Murphy was caught, per se, you know, he had to really squibble and squirm to get out of that, but I didn't hear any talk of legalizing it, you know. But when someone like Spitzer gets caught, there's always the talk of legalizing it. It's not the first time. It always seems like we're legalizing it. I tell you what, I give an example of how this type of thing has been made legal. When it was found out that predominantly people of color were using crack cocaine and predominantly non-people of color were using powder cocaine, the laws changed. So,
and they should change.
People should treat them equally.
You're
in the back doorway of changing the law. You know, you want to prosecute a certain way when certain people get caught.
No, you know, just to be fair, Wayne, I mean, first of all, I am a lawyer, all right? So I have advocated in the past, all right? But long before this show, I've advocating decriminalizing a lot of consensual sex acts, including prostitution, long before Elliot Spitzer. So I just want you to know, I also felt about Bill Clinton, that what he did was very shameful for Hillary Clinton, but wasn't something that he should be impeached for. I think that if you look at Jack Kennedy or FDR or Eisenhower, or frankly, the rumors, if they're true, about George Herbert Walker Bush, George Bush Sr., we have a lot of powerful people that, yes, are committing adultery. I mean, even my hero, Dr. King, has at least committed adultery. That's different from prostitution. I understand that. But my point is this. I think when you have a private act in general that doesn't harm anyone but the man's family, I think that's a family affair, and I'd like to see the government stay out of it, whether it's Eddie Murphy or anybody else. I want to thank you for your call. Let me go on to Wayne. Wayne, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. I'd like to say, first of all, Elliot Spitzer was truly one of my heroes. I thought he should be currently the Attorney General of the United States. God, we wouldn't be in near the mess we are right now. We wouldn't be torturing POWs and detainees. We wouldn't be, spying on Americans and a whole list of things we wouldn't be doing if he was the Attorney General of the United States. I think this is a great tragedy to our country.
You know, Wayne, you raise a good point just in comparison. I mean, here you have nobody or very few people, certainly no Republicans, seeking the impeachment of a president of the United States that has admitted to torturing people, to putting people in secret prisons, to holding people without trial. These are violations not of some obscure, 1910 Mann Act, which is what Spitzer it may be charged with. But this is the Constitution of the United States, right? You can't torture people. You can't hold people in prison without a trial. And yet this kind of act, lying to us to get us into war, acts that affect tens of millions of people and are illegal, the great crimes, the major crimes, no one seems to want to prosecute. They want to prosecute these minor crimes where a guy is, getting a call girl, which isn't very pretty, but it's the difference between Bill Clinton and George Bush, right? What Bill Clinton did with Monica Lewinsky wasn't pretty by any means. But it pales beyond the great major crimes that George Bush has committed that affect millions of people all around the world.
Absolutely. I certainly hope that if he does resign, which I heard he plans to do, I hope the new governor is even tenfold what he has been, because
it's going to be hard to do. I tell you, the lieutenant governor is David Patterson. It's very interesting. He would be not only the first African American governor of New York, but the first legally blind governor of New York. And I don't know that he can fill Elliot Spitzer's shoes. I sure hope so, my God, to imagine that a legally blind man could do what Elliot Spitzer did. I sure hope he can. That would be amazing. That would be wonderful. I just don't, I mean, I don't think we know enough until that happens.
Yeah, I think a legally blind or a handicapped individual is equally qualified and capable of doing anything any of us are. If they put their mind to it.
Well, he was elected lieutenant governor, so he came that far. So maybe he can put us all to shame and show us what an amazing job he can do. And, we won't need Elliot Spitzer anymore. That would be a wonderful thing.
Yes, sir. I certainly hope so. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. Let me go to Osman. Osman, welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Hi.
Hi.
I'm coming from Africa, and we have the prostitutes. They have their own neighborhood. Nobody go and prostitute them. And
every nation in the world has prostitutes. It's I said, the world's oldest profession. And let me be clear, because I don't want to get the wrong idea, all right? I'm really not defending prostitution. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying go out, men, cheat on your wives, and buy yourself a prostitute. I'm really not saying that. So please don't call in and say I'm saying that. What I'm saying is there are worse crimes, and that we have, as one caller put it, selective prosecution.
Yes.
And I'd much rather, the FBI, I did a show 2 months ago where the FBI dropped a terrorism investigation into white supremacists consorting with Islamic extremists to kill people in America because they didn't consider it that important. They're devoting all their resources to wiretapping the governor. And I want to make people think about privacy issues.
No, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about why the destruction of character. You know, if somebody doing something in secret, why the government spend this all funds to destroy the character of the guy?
You know, they wanted to take
him
down.
If you look, the more strict law in this kind of Islamic law, but if you don't have enough witnesses and certain, you have to see all what's happening by four perfect witness. If you don't have this, you can't even mention it. So
you know, it's interesting. I mean, I you want to charge him a fine, by all means, charge him a fine. I mean, it was stupid. It was stupid. He's a prosecutor. He should know better. He has prosecuted these very crimes himself. I'm not even defending what he did. Except what I'm saying is I am more concerned about secretly spying on all of us, the thing that this whole warrantless wiretapping bill that may go through the Congress this week, that concerns me more than Elliot Spitzer's victimless crime. I don't think the woman was a victim. I really don't. I don't think she thinks she was. Certainly his family are, but that's I just think that's a private matter. Thanks.
Go ahead. Let me ask you, if he's doing that secretly and one day, maybe he regrets what he did, but the FBI made the whole world know that guy doing that.
Right.
If they can dismantle the ring, but they don't have to bring out the client.
That's exactly right, and they normally don't. Yeah. They normally don't. I mean, what's interesting is in this case, it's only because of Elliot Spitzer that they went after this particular prostitution ring. They left it alone. They didn't know about it. They didn't care about it until Elliot Spitzer was involved. Usually, when you dismantle a prostitution ring, the pimps get in big trouble, the prostitutes get in a little trouble, and the Johns get off. And I don't know, maybe that's not fair. And folks, if you think that's not fair, you know, let me hear from you, 202-588-0893. But that's the way it normally happens. And I think that in this case, they had it backwards. Thanks for your call, Osman. I appreciate it. Let's go to RG. RG, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Okay, good to talk to you, Ella. Talk to you today. I just wanted to say that, look at this from a legal standpoint. You said you're an attorney, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, you've heard of the concept of respondeat superiori, right?
Yes.
And if he is acting outside the usually customary duties of his office, I think that certainly an impeachment would be in order, but this seems to be extraneous to that. Would you not think in a legal context? It has nothing to do with it.
Well, let me just compare the two concepts and explain it to people who don't know what it is. But respondeat superior is that if someone hurts you in the course of their business, the classic case would be a trucker that has an accident with you while driving a truck for the XYZ corporation. If that happened, you can sue not just the trucker who, you know, rammed your car and shouldn't have, but also the XYZ corporation because that's the boss and he was doing it at the words of the boss. So that's respondeat superior. It seems to me that impeachment is a separate question. Impeachment should have to do, in my view, with malfeasance in high office. In other words, if Eliot Spitzer was using state money to pay for these call girls, absolutely I support impeachment. No
right.
question about it.
Right.
If he was corruptly taking bribes, if he was using his office, as George Bush has done, to break the law, you know, whether by torturing people or holding people without trial or you know, those kinds of actions, breaking wiretap laws himself, then that's an official misuse of power. Absolutely impeach the guy.
Okay, well, what I'm saying to you, though, is that can't respondeat superior be imputed, not just in the civil context, as you mentioned in the you know, common carrier scenario that you just presented, but, you know, for trucks and buses or whatever, but just, I mean, in terms of the fact that he is, I'm thinking that the rationale of the people, who blew the whistle on him?
I the
mean,
FBI.
You know, is this something that's tit for tat, so to speak? I mean,
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's a very interesting question. What happened was, as we know it.
Can I finish this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Mr. Spitzer is Jewish, so it stands to reason that he's going to have a certain amount of leverage as far as the media is concerned and how they're going to look at it, you know, in terms of the fact that they're going to try to, okay, well, it's not as bad as we might think. I mean, not
well, wait, now, see, now there, now you were with me for a while, and now you just ran off the rails.
Well,
I think the fact that he's Jewish makes one bit of difference to either why he was prosecuted or what he did or anything. People, they go after powerful people, right? I mean,
right.
You know, they went after Marion Barry. They went after, Martha Stewart. I mean, powerful people, the FBI and the federal government tries to take down. And that's what they do. And they didn't try to take him down because he was Jewish. And he's
so you don't
not
think
getting...
it was anti-Semitic for them to do this?
No, no, no. I think they went after Eliot Spitzer not because he was Jewish. I think they went after Eliot Spitzer because he went after powerful corporations. He took down moneyed interests. He took down Wall Street. He made people who defrauded shareholders pay the price. He even took down the head of the New York Stock Exchange.
And was most of his money made in the legal profession?
No, his father was a real estate magnate who made a lot of money in real estate, and he inherited most of it. I don't think he made a lot of money in income. I think most of it was inheritance.
Well, I know you got other people calling, but I just wanted to say this before closing, is that this certainly brings into bold relief the fact that FBI surveillance, do you think that they had probable cause to investigate him in this case?
I mean, It's a good question. They got a warrant, and the warrant was based on the fact that he had made certain monetary transactions from his bank account that the bank found suspicious. That, to me, is a very low standard for probable cause.
That's pretty thin, wouldn't you
think? I think it's thin.
Yeah.
I think it's thin, but the court issued him a warrant. I think it's pretty thin. That, to me, is my question here.
Yeah,
do we want the government spying on us to that extent?
It goes back to what I was thinking before, is that they targeted him for some reason. The only reason I could think of is that, like I said, it seemed to be some type of anti-Semitic.
I don't think they targeted him because he was Jewish. I think they targeted him because he was the governor of the state of New York and because he was powerful.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, they targeted these people. But thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Thomas. Thomas, welcome. Good morning.
Thank you. My question is this a high-tech lynching?
Is this a high-tech lynching? That's, of course, what Clarence Thomas called it when they challenged his...
Right.
You know, look, Clarence Thomas, what did he do? He did sexual harassment of a woman that was in his employ. I tell you, here's the difference, and I think it's an important difference. Some people will say, there's no difference. Clarence Thomas, Bill Clinton, Eliot Spitzer, it's all the same. I don't think so. Let me tell you why. It's a very clear difference. Monica Lewinsky, for whatever you think of her, she wanted that contact with Bill Clinton. The high-class whore with Eliot Spitzer, she wanted the cash. She was very happy with the transaction. Apparently, she got paid handsomely, way more than other prostitutes get. Hill did not want the contact with Clarence Thomas. It was unwanted. He kept at it. She said no, and he kept at it again and again and again. Now, I see see a very clear distinction between consensual sexual acts and non-consensual sexual acts. But go ahead.
And also, he prosecuted these people before he was governor.
Right.
So I mean, you know what's with that?
Well,
thanks,
it was hypocritical.
I'm gonna get off.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Listen, I'm not defending the hypocrisy. And I'm not defending everything Elliot Spitzer did at all. I think it's kind of sordid. I just, to me, the catching of the crime is more dangerous than the crime itself, all right? I'm not defending what Elliot Spitzer did, but the way they caught him scares me more. The same with Bill Clinton. I'm not defending what he did with Monica Lewinsky, but having a special prosecutor appointed, spending hundreds of millions of dollars going around and trying to find out every woman that Bill Clinton slept with, to me, is an abuse of power. And sometimes the way we catch crimes is more dangerous to American freedoms than the crimes themselves. Let me go to Michael. Michael, welcome.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
Well, the point you just made was exactly what I wanted to bring up when I called. The method. I'm not a believer. I'll say this. I'm not always a believer in the ends justifying the means. I have to have a lot of specifics before I feel that way. So I pick and choose where I apply that perspective. But the point you just made again, the way they got him. Probable cause, I don't see it, but hey, I'm not in the prosecutor's office. But I tell you, it's going to sound funny, maybe, it has been to a couple of people, and I don't intend to make fun of anything. I have overall the same perspective you do, that between him and his wife, responding superior and all that. I'm aware of that term and the distinction, but quickly, it is often suggested that this is a victimless crime. There are larger issues that I see, for example, how women are treated generally, the choices they are, quote-unquote, forced to make. I'll say it this way.
I'll say that that's true for the great majority of prostitutes. I don't think it was true for this particular woman, but I think
exactly.
It is true for most prostitutes, yes.
Exactly, and I think that's a big question, too. Maybe not a bigger question, but again, I'll put it this way. I hope she painted his house. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to touch that one. Let's just quit this before we descend to some place that we don't want to go. Thank you for your call.
I'm sorry, but I had to.
All right, fair enough. Thanks for your call. Let me go on to Alan. Alan, welcome. Good morning.
Yeah, I got to ask two questions. What kind of system forces women into these jobs as prostitutes, whether they got money or not?
Okay. What's your second question? Then I'll get to your first.
No, I mean I'm just raising it, and you don't have to answer that question.
Well, no. I think there is a difference. I think there are some prostitutes. I think there are some.
This whole system, whether they make a lot of money or whether they make a little money, this is an indictment on a system that creates this kind of thing. Also,
let me address.
Okay. Finish what I'm saying.
All right. Go ahead.
Because I think that it's an outrage that, you know, okay, granted, the lady went after this crime was worse than what the outrage was, but it's an outrage. And you mentioned Martin Luther King had prostitutes, and he had prostitutes. He's the governor of the state, and now the mafia could control him using extortion to do their bidding. And the right wing could control Martin Luther King to do their bidding. No. Don't be giving these guys a little soft pass. They did wrong.
Okay. Alan, you raise a lot of issues. Let me address each of them.
They did wrong, and the state should not be applauded for going after them. But everybody's wrong. They ain't no victims.
Okay, Alan, you raise a lot of issues. Let me deal with each one of them one by one. Your first question was, what is it that makes a woman go into this? And I think the answer is there are many reasons why women become prostitutes. I think for the great majority of them, they are poor. They are abused, often sexually abused. They are often forced into this by pimps. I have no sympathy for the prostitution the way it is normally practiced. I do think that this woman was an exception. She was a woman who I think, again, and if it's not true, we'll find out the facts. But everything I understand to date is this is a woman who, you know, liked her job. I'm sorry, but she got paid handsomely for what she did, and she was consensual, and I don't really feel sorry for her. Now, let me raise your second point about Martin Luther King. First of all, to be clear, I don't know that he used prostitutes. My understanding is it was marital infidelity. It was not a prostitute. If I'm wrong, someone let me know, but I don't think that was the case. But you raise a greater point, and that's one of blackmail, and that's a very serious point. It is true that if a man is secretly breaking the law, he is likely to be blackmailed. This is a very old problem. In fact, it goes back to Alexander Hamilton and the first sex scandal in American history. He was sleeping with another man's wife. He was paying off that man's wife's, woman's husband. The woman he was sleeping with, he was married too. But the woman he's sleeping with, he was paying off her husband to keep quiet. And then the husband implicated him in a scandal the husband was involved in. This is all part of history, by the way. And Hamilton then had to come clean to stop the blackmail, admit that, yeah, he was sleeping with this woman and paying her off. But that's all he'd done. He wasn't in this greater scandal. And he pretty much got a pass. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson and all, they gave him a pass. Here's the thing. Blackmail is a serious issue. But it's a serious issue because the underlying conduct is a crime. Bill Clinton, I don't know. I mean, if you have blackmail, let's look at him with Monica Lewinsky, right? That wasn't a crime. There was nothing illegal about it. But he was also subject to blackmail because he didn't want his wife to find out. At the end of the day, we do all kinds of things, legal and illegal, that we don't want people to know about. Again, maybe the more harmless example I gave is looking at pornography on the internet. If someone were to threaten and say, well, I'm going to tell your boss at the church that, I monitored your internet and you were looking at pornography, that's blackmail too. I think at the end of the day, it's the blackmailer that needs to be punished rather than the victim of the blackmail. And I'm not defending Spitzer's conduct except to say that someone who blackmails others, I think, is the real criminal rather than the victim. Let me go on to Marilyn. Marilyn, good morning.
Afternoon. And you kind of stole my thunder there. Well,
oh, I'm sorry.
The other caller did. But no, I'm glad you went ahead and addressed it. You know what I mean? I think that, first of all, they put it out there. This is things that are happening as far as when we're moving large sums of money, making transactions, we all are being scrutinized.
That's right. They're watching us.
Yeah, they really are. And, because of that, this is what led them to him. And what I heard in the news was that, the company had not paid their taxes or whatever, so they put it out there and they let the public decide.
It's not even a left-right thing. I'll give you another example, and that's Bill Bennett. And I have no sympathy for Bill Bennett. I do not like his politics. Republican, former Secretary of Education, Ronald Reagan, he's done some nasty things. I hate his politics. But he got in trouble for wasting $8 million in gambling. All right? Now, as much as I dislike Bill Bennett, I will stand on my principle and say it is nobody's business that Bill Bennett is spending $8 million on a gambling debt. It is his family's business. Absolutely. They have a right to know. They should know. But I don't want the government monitoring everything we do. To me, that's a police state. That's East Germany. That's not the United States.
Well, and then I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna close.
Okay.
I don't think they're finished with the story. I'm just hoping that he did not use any government money
right
to fund his, hooplas or whatever.
Oh, and if he
it
does, I will be the first to condemn him. That's over the line. That okay, to me is where a private matter becomes a public matter. And if that's the case, fry him. Get rid of him. He's gone. I will jump off this boat the quickest I can if that's to be shown, because that's an important distinction.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, we all need to remember that somebody's watching everybody. So
that's right. People are liable to their maker. They are liable to their God or their wife or their children or themselves or their own sense of morality. Please understand, I'm not defending Spitzer. What I'm saying is that as a society, I care more about spying on us than I do about the underlying crime itself. Thank you for your call. That was a really good one. Candace, welcome.
Well, thank you, and I agree with you. Spying is the is what we should be worried about. I'm not going to say all men, but men are men, not all men. And so he was dealing with a prostitute. Okay, you got somebody down there at 1600 Penn. And over here, and another one over here on Observatory Road, Mass Avenue, who have done far more damage and corruption and breaking of laws than than Spitzer.
And fundamental laws that have never been broken before. I mean, let's be clear. A lot of men, as you say, they go to prostitutes, and it harms their families. Okay.
So that's their families. But
right. But what George Bush has done, he is the first American president that at least has admitted to using torture. He's the first American president to admit to going to sending people to secret prisons.
So what, we put him up on a pedestal
for that? Well, no. My point is exactly yours. My point is that he's what he's done goes far beyond the private crimes of a man who...
Exactly. And we're not just talking about torture. We're talking about the breaking of national laws,
right.
International laws,
right.
Constitutional laws.
That's right. All of that.
And all of this being... And not just you, and I'm enjoying your show, but not just your show, but all of this being made over this guy, Governor Spitzer, who dealt with a prostitute, which many, they just haven't been caught yet, and somebody said it because they didn't like what he was doing or what move that he was making. And he came out, he did come out as a hypocrite, but look at what he was doing, and it was
he was
anti,
doing a lot of good things.
Exactly, which means he was anti what this administration is about. So somebody knew that he was doing that, and I find it really, really, to know that we are being, and just take it lightly, that we are being, quote-unquote, spied upon, warrantless wiretaps and all of this. I mean, and we're dealing with, we should be dealing with that, this kind of thing. What's happening to, what has happened to America, what's happening to the American people, what's happened to the morals and the lack of and ethics of this country that sits back and allows, and I used to always... apparently so. Now you find out they've been putting stuff in the water. Now they'll claim it was sewage and all of that. Now I'm not buying that sewage crap, okay?
You know, this week, Candace, there's a bill before that the House and the Senate and the President have been fighting over. They've been fighting over for about a month now. And it's to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And what this bill does is if the President gets his way, and so far the Democrats are standing firm, God bless them, I hope they continue to. But if the President gets his way, he can spy on any American without a warrant at any time. Now, the president will tell you, Republicans will tell you, he needs this power to fight terrorists. He needs to spy on 300 million Americans, and I don't know how many emails and text messages and phone calls we make. It's trillions of messages daily that each of us do. He needs to know all of our business to fight terrorists. Let me suggest to you, this ain't about fighting terrorists. That the real goal is to take political opponents, find out what they're doing, and take them down. And the clearest example I can think of is, yes, occurred just a few blocks from here at the Watergate Hotel when Richard Nixon wanted to know what the Democratic National Committee was doing. And so Republican operatives broke in and looked at their plans, their political plans. And, of course, Richard Nixon was forced from office for that. Now, how is that different in any way? In fact, I think it's a piker compared to spying on virtually everybody in America. I mean, all that Richard Nixon did in Watergate is a few Republican operatives broke into one building and spied on one or two documents. That's very, very small compared to the trillions of ways that George Bush is trying to spy on us today. And let me tell you, it ain't about fighting terrorists. It's about fighting his political opponents. Thank you very much for your call. Let me go on to Nick. Nick, good morning.
Good morning. This Spitzer case is so agonizing to me. I don't know why it has agonized me so much like this. But I hope that when the shock wears off, people will understand what you have been trying to let them understand for over 1 hour now. That, and after that time, I think it will be welcome to the United Soviets States of America.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's going to be.
Exactly
if
right.
They can't see the what has happened, if they can't see, I mean, coming at a time when this giving George Bush authority to spy the more, coming at that time and nobody could connect it to except for people like you and some other people. It's so sad. I don't know what has become of Americans, you know?
You know, even when the New York Times discovered it, they held it for a year. And let me tell you something else to all the people that say, oh, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I think it's just fine if the government spies on me. Look, one other thing that we know is that the leaks themselves are against the law. There is something, and again, every lawyer knows it, most citizens know it, when the grand jury indicts you for a crime, those proceedings are secret. And they're supposed to be secret because, you know, some people are innocent. And sometimes they aren't using the right methods to find out about things. Somebody, we don't know who, somebody leaked this investigation to the New York Times to take down Governor Eliot Spitzer. So absolutely. Please don't tell me that all of this was about, you know, fighting immorality. All of this was about fighting terrorists. Somebody wanted Spitzer to go. Spitzer went after the most powerful people in the United States of America.
And we are forever grateful to him for that.
Yes, and they tried to take him down just like they tried to take Bill Clinton down. Look, Bill Clinton gave us peace. He gave us prosperity. He gave us the best economy in modern times. And all of us knew, at least we should have known from Jennifer Flowers in 1992, that the man liked to sleep around. And the Republicans couldn't find anything he'd done wrong on Whitewater, on Vince Foster, on anything else, but they knew that the guy liked the ladies. And so they spent, you know, Richard Mellenscaife spent hundreds of millions of dollars on the Arkansas Project, which was interviewing, I think, every woman in Arkansas to find out whether Bill Clinton slept around. We have people that are trying to take down leaders because they are progressive, because they care about the people. And to me, what sexual indiscretions that they've done pale in comparison to the people in the background taking them down.
Let me go further a little bit. Remember Gary Hart?
Sure, sure.
It's the same thing. Dr. Castor called
Martin Luther King.
This sadist brother in Florida, who was the former, he planted. You know, he has his own cabal in Florida. He planted that lady on Gary Hart. You know.
So I don't know that, but if it's true, I'll tell you this. Listen, I don't know some of these things y'all are saying, like Dick Cheney involved with the D.C. Madam or Jeb Bush involved in taking down Gary Hart. If this is, I don't know if it's true, but if it is, I want to publicize it. Let me tell you, my website is radioinsidescoop.com. Write down a comment on today's show. Show me your evidence. Show me your link to your website, and we'll put it up there. I'll take a look at it, and if it's true, I'll report it. That's what I do on my daily show. I want to let people find out the inside scoop, but I do want to make sure that these rumors are true before I report them. Thank you for your call. That was a really good one. Duval, welcome. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. First of all, great show.
Thank you.
My statement isn't about prostitution, although I spent some time in the armed services in Germany and Amsterdam, but I'm just really amazed at people's concern over private issues versus the greater good. The Bill Clinton statements you made seems like people are just more concerned about people's private issues. Which would you rather have? Would you rather have a CEO who's never slept around, that has lied to the people and the stockholders, causing thousands and thousands of people to lose their jobs and things of that nature? What would you rather have? Or would you rather have somebody who maybe have an indiscretion there with their own family?
Duval, but that's exactly my point.
I just really don't believe it. I mean, just unbelievable.
It's a great point. I'll tell you, look at Kenny Boyle, right? He gave more money to George Bush than anyone else on earth, and he defrauded Enron stockholders and workers out of some $40 billion. And see, that affected people's lives. People lost their homes. People lost their jobs. People lost their livelihood. Stockholders lost billions of dollars. I would much prefer that Kenny Boyle was seeing some high-class hooker and spending his money on her than spending all of our money on himself. It's a great point, and I appreciate your making it. I got to rush just because there's so many callers and so little time. Malcolm, welcome. Good morning.
Hi, yes. How are you doing today?
Good day.
All right. I completely agree with you with noting the number of indiscretions that the Bush administration has done and the fact that he should be impeached for that. However, where I disagree is that it's not an either-or. It's not because they try to impeach Clinton that you can't impeach Bush. The problem that I have is that there appears to be an advocacy for two sets of justice and standards. Bill Clinton did not get impeached because of his actions with Monica Lewinsky. He got impeached because he broke the law. He lied under oath. I don't hear people outraged over the fact that Marion Jones is now serving 6 months in prison because she lied about using steroids. I could care less about Marion Jones using steroids, and I think it's ridiculous that she's in jail for that. However, there cannot be two standards of justice. Eliot Spitzer, right now, the issue isn't so much that he slept with another woman, is that here he is, the highest official in the state of New York and a former state attorney general, who broke the law.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right, Malcolm, and he shouldn't have, and it was wrong, and he should know better. And I tell you, his greatest crime, I think, is being stupid. This is a man who knows the law. He prosecuted prostitutes himself, and to think that he could get away with this, it's just completely idiotic. It's a huge character flaw, and I agree with you. And this to me is not about Elliot Spitzer. I really regret what he did. I feel sorry, not for him, but for the people of New York who are losing what I thought was a fearless, cheerleader for fighting rich and powerful people who are defrauding the country. I feel bad for New York. I feel bad for the country. I really don't feel so bad for Elliot Spitzer. For him, you're right. He never should have done it. He should have known better. Absolutely right. So I agree with you on that. Let me just go because I got a lot of callers and very little time. Jen, welcome. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Excellent show.
Thank you.
I underline everything that you said, and back to your original premise of should it be decriminalized,
yeah,
and regulated, and it should be just like liquor is decriminalized and regulated, and that way, just like you say, they could get health checks. It would eliminate the abusive pimps, probably.
I think so.
And also, they could start paying their fair share in taxes.
Absolutely. Make them pay taxes. It's the oldest profession on earth. I want them to pay their fair share. Thank you for your call. By the way, I would decriminalize marijuana as well. Just call me a libertarian in that regard. Let's go to Kenny. Kenny, welcome.
Hi, I'm sorry. Hey, thank you for having a cool topic on your show. All I'd like to say is, you might know, there's like not 100,000, not million, but like a billion-dollar pornography industry.
Yes, there is.
And
that's okay with me. As long as they're not, again, people are doing willingly, it's not children, it's all consensual, I get all that clear.
Understood, but if you've ever delved into it a little bit, it's a Pandora's box. You don't want to go there. It's endless.
I'm not saying I want to do it or see it. I'm just saying I don't want to regulate. I would even regulate it, but what I don't want to do is criminalize it.
There's an endless stream of pornography, okay? And these women are paid for it.
Yeah.
But if I choose to go see a lady of the night on the corner or some such type of thing, or go online and find a girl, that's illegal, though. But I can have a production company and make thousands, if not millions, off doing the same act in front of a camera.
Yeah.
And somehow that's legal, somehow me doing it secretly
is not
legal.
You raise a really good point. The other thing that's legal that I think is far more disgusting than anything Elliot Spitzer did is a certain woman by the name of Anna Nicole Smith marrying, and I don't want to think about what she did with an 85-year-old super billionaire in order to get his funds. To me, she is the highest paid whore in all of America. We shouldn't praise her. We should condemn her, but I wouldn't make it illegal. Thank you, everyone, for all your calls. It was a great hour. Folks, if you want to know more about me and what I do, go to RadioInsideScoop.com. If you like today's show, let me know that you're listening. Put a comment on the blog on today's show at RadioInsideScoop.com. Let me know you're there. Heck, you can even call your local radio station and ask them to carry me more often. That's all. My hour's up. I hope you enjoyed today's show. This is Mark Levine signing off.